Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
I wanna hear all that, I don't wanna hear none of that, huh? I wanna talk about some what you be, I don't remember none of that shit.
Where your ass was at, dog, when it was 1 feet? Hold up. Where your ass was at, dog, when it was 10 deep? Where your ass was at, dog, when it tried to run off? Where your ass was at, dog, you made me put his gun out? Where your ass was at, dog, you went and switched sides? Where your ass was at, dog, when it was spread lies? Where your ass was at, dog, I'm about to come slide? Where your ass was at, dog, when I was serving fire? Where your ass was at, dog, when it was 1 feet? Where your ass was at, dog, when it was 10 deep? Where your ass was at, dog? Try to run off. Where your ass at, dog? You made me put his gun out. Where your ass was at, dog? When I was in the pirate. Where your ass was at, dog? When I was drinking high tech. Where your ass was at, dog? Came through the project. Where your ass at? We get that bullet loaded contract. Put your battery and dance on. Add jolly. Running through a life and music going jogging. Good luck, Louis. Put it in a pocket. Put a pig with me on the ground. Where your ass was at when I was traveling in the store? Had to struggle to get to where I'm at, said Jackie Chan moves, got the game in the choke. Gas rolling up in the Alma Coast 12, trying to come in the spot with no nothing dope. No, burglar bar door, got my young done that out of store, and we still made honest. Blowing on the O, yo, we call it onion.
Man, where your ass was at when we took the city over? Where your ass was at when all that asses was the holder? Where your ass was at when first got the news? Now your ass around because we paying back dues. Where were you when all the dogs needed help? Lawyers in that commissary ain't gon' pay itself. Where your ass was at when we recorded in the bathroom? Where your ass was at? I take attendance like a classroom. Man, I ain't got no choice, cause nowadays I swear the shit just changed up for the boy. I'm self-made, selfish with my women, self-employed. I'll buy the neighbor's house if they complain about the noise. Man, where your ass was at, dog, when wouldn't feed me? Where your ass was at, dog, when didn't need me? Where your ass was at last winter was the coldest? Fuck where you was at, I had the six on my shoulder.
Where your ass was at, dog, when 1 feet? Where your ass was at, dog, when didn't need me? Where your ass was at, dog, when try to run off? Where your ass at, dog, you made me put his gun out. Sit you for a while, dude, don't panic, pew. Where them fall through, falling like a savage. Heard you tryna swim in the ocean, no jacket. Heard them niggas came through, squeezing on a ratchet. Heard them niggas came through, squeezing on a ratchet. Serve a lot of dog food, call you a mutt. Where your ass was at, dog, when I was on my cup. The reason I'm here today, cause I ain't never gave up. Where your ass was at, dog, when it was 1 feet? Where your ass was at, dog, when it was 10 deep? Where your ass was at, dog, when it was trying to run off? Where your ass at, dog, you made me put his gun out? Where your ass was at when I was traveling in the store? Had to struggle to get to where I'm at, said gun that I stole, and we still made honest. Blowing on the O, yo, we call it onion.
This is Social Lab TM Hyman Radio. Drake, where you at? Where you at tonight? 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. 604 on the West Coast. 904 here in the ATL. Tonight, we have a special guest, Mike Mosby. We're talking about untold emotions. Specifically, untold emotions amongst men. One thing that we know for a fact we struggle with as men, right? I mean, we always in our heads, mostly in our heads. That's why some of our heads are so big. Of course. 917-889-3926. Communication is certainly not the best, right, amongst men. And we need to learn how to communicate. Our special guest tonight, Mike Mosby, is a coach out in Memphis. He's the executive director of a nonprofit, and we'll get into it. But first, we're going to swivel to my co-host here. Normally, we talk about the cities they're coming from, Charlotte, and, of course, on the other side of the ATL. Hey, but tonight, we're going to reposition this because we got Gigi on the other side of the ATL. She got those magic grapes. And then we got CeeLo, you know what I'm saying, who got this new book. The book is really not brand new, but we're going to reposition this book because it's a hot commodity, and we need to make sure everybody – has it on their tabletop. So, Hot Chocolate, welcome to the show. CeeLo, welcome to the show. What's good in your lives? What's cracking?
I like the swivel. That's new.
That's what we do. We pivot. We swivel. You know what I'm saying?
You
got to be able to do
that. We
need
the movement
in
to go 2021. With that. Yeah.
Hey,
we need the movement
absolutely.
To go with that.
what's up with the magic grapes?
So the magic grapes.
I got some a few months ago.
Yes. The magic grapes, I believe I am going to make seasonal, although they do lead my inventory, only because the demand for them kind of decreases as the weather gets cooler. However, don't fret.
Makes sense.
Magic Grapes and Goodies does have baked goods to cure your sweet tooth during the cooler months of the year when you want something warm and, you know, comforting and something's going to stick to you.
Hit her up in her inbox. Find her
absolutely.
On IG, Facebook, you know what I'm saying? And she's going to hook you up seasonally with those magic grapes.
The menu.
CeeLo, Madam yes, Boston, talk to us about the book.
Between God and Best Friends. Well, that is a poetry book that took me a long time to put together, just out of context, you know, just making sure that the message I was trying to get across was, you know, would get across. Because I touch on mental health and I touch on, like, our generational curses, but I don't call them out, you know? Like, if you're reading it, you're not going to see generational curses in it, but when you read it, you're going to be like, okay, this has to do with generational curses, which I think kind of plays into what we're talking about tonight as well. But you can find Between God and Best Friends on Amazon. And it's an e-book. That's the only format that I put it out in. And, I think that it's it can touch more. It's not just for women, you know. It's for anybody that may be at a point where they're trying to figure things out. Like, I think I'm at another level in my life where I'm, you know, trying to figure things out for where I am now, you know? I think the book is a catalyst for people who may have some struggles with where they're trying to get to.
Nice. A guide for people who are struggling, right? She didn't say guide. I'm going to say guide. She said poetry book. I'm going to say guide. Because, you know, I think it provides perspective. And, you know, when people are not in good spaces, sometimes all they need to read is a few lines to know that, you know, I'm not by myself. All they need is some encouragement to know that I'm not the only one. So Between God and Best Friends, available right now on Amazon, pick up a copy. She mentioned generational curses. Our next guest, Mr. Michael Mosby, has a YouTube video available right now. It's called Untold Emotions. Google it, check it out right now while we're talking about the show. Untold Emotions, Mike Mosby, not Mosley, Mosby, M-O-S-B-Y. Mike is the executive director of RTB Memphis. He does a whole lot in the community. If something's going down, you know, there's somebody like this in every hood. If something's going down, he's getting the phone call, right? He's showing up. He's trying to make sure that people who aren't fed have food, right? He's taking care of kids who don't have fathers, right? He's showing up for mothers who are struggling, you know, with their sons. And we connected recently on a stage with my mentor, Glenn Lundy. And when I heard Mike's energy, when I heard, you know, his enthusiasm about the work he was doing in his community, had a chance to sync with him and talk more on Friday and said, man, we got a partner and an opportunity presented itself for the show tonight. Before I go any further, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Social Lab, Mr. Mike Mosby. What's going on, brother?
Man, what's good, what's good, what's good? Hey, this is dope. Y'all dope. I already can tell, man. I'm an energy person. I love you guys' energy already, man. Y'all super dope, bro. What's good with it?
Hey, bro, we appreciate you, man. We appreciate you. I got to say the same about you. Again, man, I was in your room on Clubhouse, and I think we all were at some point. At least I know myself and CeeLo were on Friday. Just a real vibrant discussion, man. And when you talk about energy and dopeness, right? I mean, you right back at you because your energy,
your energy.
You know what I'm saying, man? I saw Untold Emotions, and you know there were a few takeaways emotionally for me. But I think CeeLo said it right when she talked about a transition into generational curses.
Right.
Your video was really about knowing how to not get trapped by generational curses. Talk about Untold Emotions and the creation behind that little, you know, 11, 12-minute piece on YouTube.
All right. Man, I get started with how it all came about. Man, so the video itself, man, Untold Emotions, man, in 2010, I was going to release it December 1st, 2010. And, man, what the video, original video was, it was me going to different hoods, different communities, and just talking to brothers. I talked to homeless brothers. I talked to, man, gangbangers. I talked to, man, the guys that was on the trap. I talked to professionals. I talked to everybody because I was like, y'all, what's in your head? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? What's going on in your head? And, man, I did the interviews myself. I edited the video myself, everything. And I was, it was my first marriage, man, December 1st. Instead of releasing the video, man, I had to, like, get about the house I was in, pack all my things up, and just go wherever I was going. It was away from their home. So that video had got destroyed, man. All the files had got deleted. And it wasn't like today. Like, you know, you can throw something in Dropbox, Google, man, Google Suite. You got everything. You shouldn't lose files. But, man, I lost all the files, man, in a heated discussion. And, man, I was like, you know, I ain't going to come back to it. So later on in life, I went through a couple of experiences, man, relationship experiences. I experienced it. Man, some of everything. Let me say that much. Absolutely some of everything. Some of it was predicated upon my own decision making. Some of it was, man, just life, right? And, man, the end of 2017, I was going through counseling, just like debriefing, detoxing all these negative, man, experiences I've had. Like, so, man, coming back home with nothing, when I say nothing, y'all, I came back home to Memphis with nothing. So in 2010, I was still living in Atlanta, but I came back home with nothing. I came back with the truck that I was living in, and I stayed in, and the truck that I moved to Atlanta in for the clothes. So that's where I came back home, man. So, man, so between 2011, back and forth here to Atlanta, man, 2012, decided to go ahead and stay back here, came back here. From 2012 to 2017, it was just like man, life was just like, come here, boy. Just set me down and just, man, gave me all kind of blues, man. Again, some of it from my own decisions, some of it from, man, like just the unfortunate part of life where you got to go through struggles and stuff. But, man, 2017, after my last session in counseling, my counselor was like, you should release all these things. And she was like, Mike, man, use your creativity. You're a musician. Man, you're a go-getter. You're very creative. You're artistic, blah, blah, blah. She's like, just find something. And I said, man, you know what? I just want to have it come. I want to go back to Untold Emotions that I started in 2010. I said, instead of me interviewing different guys, I'm going to interview myself. Like, I'm going to interview myself, and we're going to have a conversation about the struggle. So that's how I got started.
That's lit, bro.
I thought it was dope.
I mean,
that's very dope.
Yeah,
that, that's
I like
that. That's a path.
Right. I know. I was going to say, I just like the fact that it was like you were talking to more than one version of yourself. It wasn't just talking to the young man, but you were talking to the young man, the boy that turned into the young man, and from the man's perspective. So at first I didn't think I was going to be able to relate, and not because like the words or the context, but just the fact that it seemed like it was just, I'm just talking to my guy. But then I watched it like two more times, and it's like it resonated with me in the sense of we should all have had this conversation or had somebody sit us down, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we all end up having to sit down with ourselves when we, sometimes if we hit rock bottom, we hit that glass ceiling, if we just are in a stuck place, you know, we end up having to face ourselves.
Exactly.
Like, period.
Yeah, conversations with yourself at different phases and stages.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. It's like, man, it's like if I could tell myself this, like the person I am today, like I'm the person I needed. You know what I'm saying? Like when I was 17, when I was 22 or 24, right? The person that I needed. So it's like, man, if I could I tell young boys all the time, especially black boys, man, like I'm in the hood with them all the time, so I'm giving them all kind of jewels. I was like, man, y'all don't understand. If I had a me, you know what I'm saying, telling me this stuff when I was y'all age, man, things would have been different. I even said that, like, I would have made it to the NFL, none of that. I'm just saying I know things would have been different. So I was like, let me go back and talk to myself, because everybody got something on the inside of them that they need to deal with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And those untold emotions was simply that. I need to go and deal with that stuff. That's the edited version, man. The raw version, it gets even more deep. It gets even more deep. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, man, like these things need to be dealt with. Like me as a father, like I struggle with fatherhood. You know, just keeping it real. Like I didn't have a father growing up. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see a black man in the house. My mom raised five boys by herself. Her three sons and her two nephews. My two cousins live with us. You know what I'm saying? And I struggle with fatherhood. I struggle with relationships. You know, like, it's a running joke in my family and friends. But, like, man, y'all know Mike. That might have popped up and get married on y'all, because I did. You know, I just got married. I done been engaged a couple times. I need to talk to that person. What was the reason? We need to understand, like, why were you the way you were thinking? And then the gangster, like, the young teenage boy who nickname was Go Head, because this man go ahead and do whatever. I need to go and talk to him too. So it was one of those things that I just wanted to display it, because I feel like men need to have those conversations, and we don't usually have the safe space in our heads to have that conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Man, you just
not even have the safe space.
Mouthful.
Yeah.
Mouthful. Let's reset real quick. It's 9:19. It's the Social Lab Team Hama Radio. Special guest tonight, Mike Mosby. We're talking about untold emotions. Wow.
Team Hama Radio. Team Hama Live. Team Hama Live. Team Hama Live. Talk Radio Show. Team Hama Live. Team Hama Live. Team Hama Live. Team Hama Live. Talk Radio Show. Real talk.
Bro, you you said, you know, we need to sit down and have conversations with ourselves, go back and talk to ourselves. You said they used to call you Go Head because you just, you know, went ahead and did whatever you wanted. That's hilarious because hey, sometimes it's hard to escape those nicknames, right? I mean, you know, I knew a snot growing up as a kid. And, you know, the one thing about snot, you know, we still refer to snot as snot as a grown-ass man. Some things you just cannot escape. And, you know, clearly, like you said, you get your nickname. One thing about it, you can't give yourself a nickname. Other people give you nicknames based on the observation of you. And so Go Head is an interesting nickname to have. I mean, you just, man, you just dropped some serious gems, right? Because, you know, CeeLo talked about just you talking about the various stages. You know, Hot Chocolate said it was the different the different stages and ages, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, of when you were really talking to yourself. But, man, you said you struggle with fatherhood. You struggle with relationships, you know, specifically your first marriage. And a lot of times we do what we know how to do. We do what's familiar to us, right? And so if you said it. You said it. You were raised in a single household, right? Your mom did the best she could with the number of kids that she had. So, you know, it's about role models. You know, if we don't necessarily have the right role models modeling or demonstrating those behaviors, we are going to demonstrate what we know. Like you said, and what we know is how to be a hard head and how to go figure it out, you know, and do the best that we can. But often we've learned the wrong things. And so we have to learn, we have to unlearn, and then we have to relearn, right?
Mm-hmm.
As adults, both men and women, man, you said that they could get, you said that there's a raw version of this, and you've just given us the surface version right now, and I can appreciate it. But I certainly want to get into some of the rawness before the hour ends, because, you know, sometimes we try to shield people from the raw, from the real. When I think at the end of the day, we need to inject, infuse people with more raw, more raw.
Come on, infuse.
So we appreciate you. We appreciate it. Infuse. Like them GG grapes over there.
Yes.
If you just tuned into the show, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926, jump on it. Mike Mosby's here to answer questions and respond. Mike, what is the organization that you lead, RTB? What does RTB stand for?
My RTB is my Raising the Bar, man. We Raising the Bar. BAR is the acronym for Behavior, Attitude, Responsibility, man, where our mission is to empower young black boys to make better life decisions so they can become, man, great citizens to society at large, for sure. And, Raise the Bar, lit. So tell you about Raise the Bar. Raise the Bar, man, I had a vision in 2004. Man, I'd never forget it, man. I was, I had just came to, as the old people would say, man, got a little touch of God. You know what I'm saying? And, man, I was just on fire. One day, man, I was in prayer. I told my dog, I was like, bro. I was like, man, bro, I'm about to, man, start an organization. And, bro, we finna go to school, bro. We finna terrorize, man. We finna go crazy. We finna save these kids' lives. Man, I saw it then. And then I started doing it. You know what I'm saying? I ain't know nothing about nonprofit stuff, man. I didn't know what – you couldn't tell me what a 501c3 was, right, or a grant. I didn't know none of that stuff. I was like, I'm finna go into these schools. I'm finna start talking to these kids. I know I got a lot of street credit here in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? I'm finna use my street credit. Man, I'm finna, man, get some of these gang members. We about to put up in the school. And that's exactly what I did. Then I moved to Atlanta that year. That's the year I moved to Atlanta. And when I got in the A, man, that's when I learned the business of it. I linked up with an accountant there. And, long story short, he offered me an opportunity that I couldn't refuse, but I offered him one back. He couldn't refuse because I'm a hustler. So I ain't stupid, right? So, man, being in the street, you know you ain't stupid. So, like, man, you know how to, like, get what you need to get. So I told him, he said he wanted me to take over one of his businesses, but he wanted to work. We're going to work as manager partners. I told him, man, listen, don't pay me for 6 months, but you got to sit down with me 1 hour a week, teach me everything I need to know about nonprofit. He was like, okay, that's all. I said, man, that's all I need from you. Just sit down with me for 1 week, 6 months, teach me everything, man. Of course, that 1 hour turns into 2-3 hours at a time sometimes, you know, and I learned about how to write grants, about a 501c3, board development, all this other stuff, man, that comes into play. And then when I came back home, one of the reasons that 2009, 2010 was crazy, man. One of my closest friends killed himself,
oh,
man. I had just talked to him. I was like, man, bro, just come to the aid, man. I was doing good. I had a couple contracts with schools, working on another organization, man. I was doing pretty straight. I was like, man, just come to the aid, bro. He got caught up in the system. He had a felony, so y'all know how that go with black men, man, trying to get a job and stuff in. Both my birthdays in February. Here's a couple of days before mine, the 23rd, you know what I'm saying? And I just talked to him like the 11th. I was like, yo, just come to the A, man. Don't worry about none of that stuff, bro, man. You just come to the A, we straight. And, man, that man killed himself on February 14th.
Oh, wow.
And,
wow.
I knew then. I was like, man. And that, on top of a lot of other things that had happened that year, when I came home, man, I came home kind of on slick homeless tip. So I wasn't trying to help the kids and stuff. I wasn't trying to do no raising the bar. I started back gigging. I'm a musician, so I need to get money. So I started hustling, gigging, man, playing shows, throwing parties, et cetera, et cetera. And, man, one day, man, my oldest brother sat me down like, bro, what about the stuff you going to do with the kids, though, bro? I was like, man, that's straight. I got to get this bread. He's like, I understand that, but what about the thing that you need to do? He was like, what about the thing that you need to do? And I was like, man, we're going to get to that. So one of my homies was like, yo, I need you to come coach football with me in the hood that we grew up in. I was like, say less. Like, I'm going to come coach in the neighborhood I grew up in. Man, come on.
Yeah.
And for anybody to know me, I played football. My dream was to go to the NFL. You know, I was going to go to the NFL. And, man, I had these aspirations to go to the NFL. Nothing else. I didn't try to be no musician, no producer, none of that. Everybody in my family either play or sing, so that just come naturally. But I said, I'm going to the NFL. You know what I'm saying? But, of course, that didn't happen. When I started coaching, man, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I could get with this. I was like, man, you know what? We need to do a block party or something. I said, y'all, we need to do something for the kids other than football. And that kind of sparked then, like, Mike, remember you said what you was going to be doing? And I was like, you know what, we're going to take this and run with this. So we started with a football program in the neighborhood we grew up in. We built the best middle school football team on that side of town, and we kept losing the championship to the other school on the other side of town. Y'all know what I mean? Man, the best school, the resources, they kept beating us in the championship. They beat us 5 years straight before we beat them, right? But, man, in addition to all that, man, I started doing summer camps. Then we started doing a music production after school program. I was like, man, we live. We real live right now. So that was like 2012, 13, 14, 15, man, that we doing this for free, out of pocket, right? And then I started going to another school. So we doing two schools. We have an after school life skills program where we talk to the boys, man, about everything. And then 2015, I was presented with an opportunity to go into the school system as a contractor, getting paid to do what I was just doing for free. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then that went into the people who were paying me a contract, they also give grants to nonprofit organizations. So they gave us our first grant, man, was $75,000, 2008. And, man, it's been up ever since, man. It's been up ever since. We are currently, we have multiple programs going right now. man, we have a music production program that lives. I talked about that. A sports program where we're the first organization, the first people. I'm the first person to bring the NFL to Memphis. So we got an NFL flag football league happening. We got a 7-on-7 football league that's happening. And then we have what you call, man, an outdoors program where we take boys, black boys, fishing once a month. And that's sponsored by Bass Pro. Man, it's been crazy how this junk just kind of organically just turned into what I saw in 2004. I know I just said a lot, but that's raising the bar, man. As you guys can tell, I'm very passionate about raising the bar. Like, so that's what we do. I'm going to tell you what we really do. Man, we really saving kids' lives, though, y'all. I done snatched kids up out of crack houses. Man, I done stood toe-to-toe with gang leaders. Man, I done had to throw some
make
blows.
Make moves that count, buddy. Make you know what I'm saying? The moves that count, bro. Make the moves that count.
Yeah. I done had to throw blows with some folks over some kids before. You know what I'm saying? Like literally that situation you mentioned earlier, you was like, man, he the guy that called in the community. Man, real for real, though, especially in my hood. Like, man, I know everybody, we grew up together, so one of my homies hit me up today. Man, D-Boy, like, Mike, man, I'm telling you something. I got a 60-year-old, a 50-year-old, man, I'm sending them to you tomorrow, man. I can't take it. All they want to do is smoke dope. Man, I know you're going to get in their head, man. I know you're going to get on their ass,
get them
man.
Together.
Yeah, man.
Get them right together.
Yeah, that's what we do, bro. I'm the organization leader, but I got a whole team of gangsters, like real gangsters, though. Who turned right, and we just in the hood, man. We, man, since May of last year, this past weekend has made 52 weeks straight that we've given food to the community every week. We have distributed 1,500 to 2,000 boxes of food to the community every week. So we have given over 150,000 boxes of food to the hood, bro.
Yeah.
So, like, man. We doing so raise the bar pretty lit, dog.
Yeah.
Round of applause, brother. Absolutely. Listen, 52 weeks.
No soundbite. Real time.
Of feeding the homeless. Get out of here, folks. I mean, come on. This is how you make a difference. This is how you turn it around, right? This is how, man, get it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, you are hearing or you just heard the voice of Mr. Michael Mosby. He's the executive director of Raising the Bar out of Memphis. And, man, he just told you, you know, his organization is celebrating 52 weeks of feeding the homeless in the city of Memphis on top of having multiple programs for young boys, a music production program, an NFL sports program. Listen, if you're wondering how to be a positive impact in your community, just stay tuned. It's the Zone Radio Show.
See him humming live.
He went from scared, feeling like he had character but no identity, right? I mean, as a young person, like most of us, seeking attention, rebellious, angry, right? Decided at some point he was going to give up, right? I mean, the concept that many people have, both men and women, but we're talking about men tonight, is things fall in the lap of some people so easy, while others have to pretty much, you know, climb their way out of the basket where crabs are pulling them back down, you know, and
right.
It's not that easy at all. But you have to figure out, you have to make up your own mind, right? You have to change the dynamics and get out of your own way. Our special guest tonight, Mr. Mike Mosby, is an example of somebody who kind of went through life, right, but never gave up, knew that there was more, very ambitious, wanted to be an NFL player, right? What was that position? Was that quarterback? What was linebacker?
Yeah, quarterback, man. Quarterback.
See,
man.
I wanted to ask you that before I said, you know, he wanted to be a quarterback, but now he's out in the community quarterbacking, right? I just
right.
wanted to, you know, just clarify that piece before I went there. He's certainly out in the community quarterbacking on behalf. Bro, you said something powerful because I write grants. I actually lead a nonprofit. I've been in the trenches, like you're in the trenches right now, with youth between the ages of 16 to 24, our most critical population, right? And you're in the trenches, but not only are you doing the work, you're writing the grants to keep it funded. Bro, we got to give you your flowers, like, right now, just to say hands down, man, we honor you, we respect you, because grant writing is not easy. I helped to acquire a $3 million grant back in Tampa, Florida, before I left in 2015. And, you know, that grant is, you know, really up for renewal right now. So, you know the whole process of keeping the funding going, making sure the grants are there. But I want to go back to something, right? Before we get into some framework that can help people to activate in their own community, you talked about being married, being divorced. You talked about creating files. You talked about losing files, losing personal belongings, going from Atlanta back to Memphis with just your clothes and your car. Many of us have had setbacks in our life. But you talked about getting a counselor who ultimately motivated you, told you you got to channel this energy in a different kind of way. And that kind of turned the tide for you. But my question is, what made you go see a counselor? Because we hate the idea of counselors and therapists as black men. What made you go see a counselor?
Man, honestly, man, you said I'm ambitious. Ambition did it, man. So, like, it's like not there's no one event that has happened in my life that's made me like, okay, let me go ahead and get my stuff together, right? It has been like a series of stuff, man. And I think I was being a music director at this church here, man, downtown. And the pastor, man, I'm not there no more. But dude was like, he was like, man, Mike, man, you really should think about getting counseling. So he kind of like kept nudging me on it. He's like, let me counsel you. I was like, I'm definitely not going to let you counsel me. But, man, he was like, you should really think about it. And, man, I thought about it, though, man. And like, I was like, I got so much energy and fire on the inside of me. And imagine having all this fire but a lot of rage at the same time. So, like, I knew that, man, something had to give. If I want to get better in life, something got to give. Like, and I knew that, man, something ain't working because I got counseling after, like, we're doing all this great work in the city, right? Like, after things are looking up, after I done been divorced, I got divorced 2012, man, after I've been engaged twice since then, man, after, like, just things were kind of on up and down, it was like, man, you know what? Something ain't working. I've been going to church all my life. I grew up in church, but I did an absolute – my family is made up of either church people or hood people. Like, ain't no in-between. So, like,
right.
Man, I did that. I know that, like, man, church is a great part of it, especially in our community. But I'm like, man, it's got to be more, though. Like, I don't want to hear what thus said the Lord every day, bro. I need some practical tips. The tips
so,
are
like,
going to help me.
What were your expectations from the counselor? What were you looking for from counseling?
I was looking just somebody to hear me out. I just wanted somebody to hear me out. I just wanted to unload all this anger, this madness, this rage that I had. And I done it in so many ways. I done crap. So my philosophy is, man, men, black men and black boys, we're crying every day. It's just not in the form of tears. It's in shooting folks. It's in the dope. It's in snapping out. It's in, man, going out here just, man, smashing, making babies without, like, trying to take care of your responsibility. It's in all the things that's counterproductive. So, like, I wanted to just cry. Like, I'm like, man, I just want to cry. Like, can a brother just cry, like, without snapping on somebody, without going off? I just want to let it out. And, man, I trusted the person. So what I wanted to get from it was, man, I wanted to just let it all out. And it took some time. It took about, man, like, it took some time, probably about 3 to 5 months. But, man, I let it all out. It all came out. And it was very constructive criticism there. It was love there. It was, man, it was empathy there for sure. But it was also, man, just a listening ear. And I felt like I just needed somebody that was non-biased to hear me out. I just need somebody to hear me out, man. So that's what I wanted to get from
you. So let me ask this, because I've heard this concern a lot when it comes to counseling or people of color seeking counseling. Was it important to you to find someone who, not for nothing, looked like you, who you could relate to, who you saw yourself in similar characteristics, you know, whether it's just because they were a black person or a black male, or was that important to you? Because a lot of people say to me, they can't wrap their mind around taking advice from someone who can't really relate to them.
Right. So, man, it was definitely important to me. Like, I mean, like, I'm from the hood. How can Dr. Phil really assess what I got going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, in a sense, like, figuratively speaking. So, like, yes, it was very important to me that I saw somebody that can, man, can understand from more than the clinical understanding, you know, more than what they taught you, more than in theory. I need you to understand me in practice, you know what I'm saying? In real life. And like, so, yes, it was very important. Not knocking, like, other races that, like, provide counseling, because I do have a couple of my counterparts that, like, you know, they're not of our race, and they're pretty cool people. But if you're talking about getting down to nitty-gritty, like, it's something that I can tell you that's happening with you because I can relate to your struggle, you know what I'm saying? But versus what the college degree told me, you know? So, yes, to answer your question, man, it was definitely a very important piece that the person had some familiarity to with the, at the least of some of the things I've been through. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Boston. I'm sorry. I was just gonna say it would naturally make it easier to welcome any feedback from that person, just because you will feel more comfortable with them in that aspect.
Exactly. And with me personally, you got one shot with me, because I'm, in a sense, I'm still kind of, I'm open as ever, but I'm closed as ever too. So if I open up, you better be extremely dope, because if I give you this, you got one shot, right? You got one shot. So, man, they slammed that. It was a couple, actually. My husband and wife, man, they're a team. I'm cool with them to this day. They did my I'm married again, remarried. Shout out to my wife, who's listening right now for sure. And they did our premarital counseling, man. They has been incredibly, man, amazing to us, man. Even during this time, man, just a little short sad moment. My wife and I lost our newborn baby back in February. So, like, man, they have been nothing but support. Appreciate that. Man, and they've been nothing but support, man. Like, I'm talking about nothing but support. And just they got the degree for it. They got the business for it, blah, 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 blah. More so than ever, they got the heart for it. You know what I'm saying? So it makes a big difference.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, you are hearing the oh-so-dynamic voice of Mr. Michael Mosby tonight. He's the executive director of RTB. It's called Raising the Bar. Man, he is in the trenches helping young black men in the city of Memphis. Why don't you log on to the website, check him out. Again, it's the nonprofit Raising the Bar. You can check him out at rtbmemphis.com. You are in tune to the Social Lab, Boston.
See him humming live. See him humming live.
RTB, baby. Go ahead, Boston.
Yeah. I wanted to know, because there was a part in the short where you spoke about struggling with fatherhood, and I wanted to know, like, were you able to ever reconcile your relationship with your daughter and your youngest?
Yeah, so, man, in all transparency, my youngest is in Atlanta right now with my ex-wife. I haven't seen her in 8 years now. Haven't had any communication. Mom kind of just dipped out. That's a very interesting thorn in the flesh, if I may say. My two oldest, I'm actually going to pick my oldest up from work, her first job. Man, right now I'm actually about to pick her up. Man, that relationship have been reconciled with their moms. So I have, they both, my two oldest have two different moms. So there's three living kids right now, and they all have different moms. So
okay.
My oldest, my 16-year-old, my daughter, man, we have definitely had some hard conversation over the years, because there were a lot of misunderstandings, you know. And back when I did Untold Emotions, I did another video, and I put it out there for them, because that's when I was struggling. Like, I wasn't really consistent in child support. I really wasn't, it was a lot of drama in me and their moms. But to answer your question, yes, that has been reconciled with the children and with the moms. So we all have a good working situation going. Man, you know how folks be like, God, I turn your whole situation around, like, for real. He did. But it took real work, though, and it's real work now, because there was some residue that was there, you know, from my daughter, and we had to have conversations, like, currently, like, so it's like currently working construction, but we are in a great place, man, and just keep the buck. My son, so I have three girls, one who's an angel now, but three girls and one son, and man, my son, we have the tough conversations, because he's a black man, and my son, mom allowed him to come move in with us in November, this past November.
Wow.
He's 14, and, man, he need his dad, and we understand that. And most of what I do now, like, I provide for other kids, but, man, I go over, backwards, and above and beyond for my own. I'm not going to be out here saving other kids' lives and my own kids out here just slow. You know what I'm saying? That ain't gonna happen.
That's right.
And I had to switch that though, because when there was a lot of drama in our relationships, you know, that it had nothing to do with the kids and the adults. Like, it naturally caused me as a man to just, you know, not be around the drama, which would naturally cause you not be around your child. You know,
right.
And then even from a child support, paying child support perspective, man, you know, I was struggling financially. You know, I didn't really know, like, how to be a father. So then, yeah, you got child support, and it's like, man, I'm talking about, like they first couple years, like maybe first 5, 6, 7 years of their life, like, man, very, very, very inconsistent. You know what I'm saying? And I literally didn't know. Not saying it's an excuse, but that was just what it was. I didn't know. But I cared, but I didn't care enough, because I was comfortable in my struggle. Now, I'm struggling, so, man, hell, what y'all want me to do? I'm struggling. But, man, that's still, there's no excuse for no man. No excuse. Struggle is not an excuse for you to be absent in your kid's life. You know what I'm saying? And I had to realize that over time, man. But the relationship with my son, that's lock-started. Man, my daughter is lock-started. It's just some residue there that, man, we had to work through. But, man, yeah, all transparency, I ain't seen my youngest living baby, man. I ain't seen her in 8 years, man. Like, I haven't even talked to her mom, bro. She could walk past me, I would know her, because all my kids look just like me. Even though they got different moms, they all look just like me. I'd be like, yo, you're my daughter. But, man, it's just, man, it's hard as hell, because that's my daughter and my flesh. And I tell my other children, I don't never not tell people, and I've never not told people, even before my wife and I had our baby in February, man, I never not said I only got two kids. Although people only see, like, me with the two, I got three kids, man, if you really get to know me, and it's probably the first time I've ever said this publicly, like, man, I haven't seen my other one, my youngest, in 8 years, man, and it hurt like hell, but we got to keep going because I still have two teenagers that my son is very critical. He's a black boy at 14.
Right.
Like, bro, we got to get you straight, you know.
Get you right,
my
right.
daughter, you're a black girl at 16, so I need to be there, you know what I'm saying? But in the
yeah.
story, and when I, yeah, go ahead.
No, I said, no, I just said, yeah, you got to.
Yeah, we got to be there, man, in the story and Untold Emotions. I was just real with it, though. Like, man, one day we all gonna get together, man. And the some of the raw part, Terrence, man, in that is that, man, I didn't edit it, man. My god sister edited it because she's super dope at it. I can edit videos, too, but she does what she does every day for a living. And I wonder why she took some of the stuff out. But one of the ones, man, if you see in the intro, you'll see me drinking a bottle. Well, I've talked about how, man, I relied on drinking heavy. So I started drinking a lot, man, a whole lot. I wasn't an alcoholic or nothing, but I was drinking a whole lot, man, trying to drink my problems away. And I talked about every time I got drunk, it'll bring me to tears because I would feel like, man, Mike, you're not great as a father. And I would
right.
face that stuff. But, man, I stopped drinking and started clearing up, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, we got to fix this. But that was one of the raw parts in there, man. I was borderline, I was on my way to being slick and alcoholic, man, just by all the struggles I was going through. And the main one at the time when I was doing a lot of drinking was when, man, I was struggling as a father. So,
right.
But God brought
Thank
you out,
Thank you for
brother.
Your transparency.
But God,
yeah, God bless you.
Absolutely. But God, at the end of the day, let me tell you one thing that I heard. You talked about when she asked about reconciliation with your daughter, right? And again, your transparency is unbelievable, but it's needed, right? It's that infusion of real that people need in their life. Reconciliation within yourself has to always take place first before you can reconcile with somebody else. And that's
yeah,
what I heard
it's real.
Through your story, your journey, right? You had to reconcile, right? You talk about being in that comfortable place of struggle. That's a powerful phrase right there. Comfortable place of struggle, because I think it's both conscious and unconscious that people are in that comfortable place of struggle. If you know anything about comfort, you know, one, there is no success in comfort, period, let alone a comfortable place of struggle. You feel me?
Right.
You got to get up from that place real, real quick. It's already no success there, and you already struggling, and you comfortable? What the hell?
Yeah,
that sounds
definitely
like
not a good recipe. Mm-mm.
Right. This sounds like a lot of numbness going on emotionally.
There's a lot that I still want to unpack here. But, folks, we are going to go – we're taking this show – we're doing something new tonight. We're taking this show over to Clubhouse for the after show because, listen, I knew talking to this guy, I was not going to be able to get it all in. And so we still need to hear some of the raw versions of Untold Emotions. And so if you are on Clubhouse at 10 o'clock, we're going to take the show over there. Look for the Social Lab Social Club. The Social Lab Culture Club, The Social Lab Culture Club. Or follow, look for myself, T. Hyman. Look for Hot Chocolate, Regina, or Madam CeeLo Boston. Or look for Mike Mosby on Clubhouse and just jump into the room. This is what I want to talk about before we end the podcast tonight. You shared a story about doing work in a brand new school or going to visit a brand new school in your community. And when you went into this brand new school that was literally smack dab in your community, how blown away you were. Can you quickly share a little bit about that story, man? And then followed by that, can you just give people some practical tips about what they can do to support youth in their community and how to jumpstart a nonprofit?
Okay, say no more. So, yeah, man. So, man, the school was called Jeter Miller School. So it's been around since I was in middle school. It was called junior high when we were there. But it's in the hood, man. It's in Lakeview Guard. It's in LVG, man. 38109. That's where I'm from. So when my homie called me, man, he was like, "Yo, I want you to come over here and coach." I was like, "Bet, man. Let's do it." Like, man, I was talking about, man. It was not a question. It was not a question that we were gonna go there and coach once he asked. I was like, "It's just done." So we went and started coaching, man. Football gave us enough leverage to do other things in the school. So I'm saying it for a reason, but football gave us enough leverage to do other things in school. So, man, even from a nonprofit perspective, we was getting data, right? So we was getting participants, like get the football team and take them and do music production with them, you know, get your data, you know, so on and so forth. But it was also, man, sports is probably one of the largest and the most impactful after-school programs out there in this world. And, man, I was like, man, we got to dive into the football program. And number one, I'm a winner. So, like, I want to win. I don't just want to be out of losing either. So, man, we built the team. We was a winning program. But more so, man, we was doing other things with them. Monthly lunches, empowerment sessions, man, community outings, block parties. Like, man, so much stuff, man. I got so much content I'll share one day, man, like videos and pictures and all that. But, man, that's what we was doing, bro. Like, we was winning as a football team. And that bled over into the community. So the community members, like, who grew up over there, like, man, go ahead them back over here. Like, you didn't hear that a lot. Man, go ahead them at Jeter. Man, like, go ahead them at Jeter. And my high school that I graduated from is around the corner, less than 5 minutes. So, like, right, building that pipeline back up, you know what I'm saying? It was amazing, bro. It was amazing what was happening for football. And, man, and one thing that I can say that, to anybody that's trying to work in the youth, work with youth, that worked in the community, man, sports is the easiest platform. Sports is the easiest platform. If you get involved some kind of way, man, come a volunteer in some kind of community league, whether it's football, basketball, soccer, baseball, whatever, get involved with that, and then that could be an easy way to build those relationships with young people. But you have in mind, you want to offer them other stuff, though. I don't want to just give you sports. Because I'm not teaching our boys, man, strive for the NFL. I'm teaching our boys to strive for success. Because you might not make it to the NFL, bro, just being real with you, you know. And as a quarterback, I was really good. I was really good, multiple colleges. But, you know, I mean, here I am as a nonprofit executive. You know, it's God's plan. But however, I tell young people, you need other pathways. Like, you need other pathways. So if you want to work with youth, man, sports is an easy entry. But do have other things you can give them, man, trades, mm-hmm, whatever kind of skills that they can have. Get involved. Find your local organizations, your local church. If you had a church, man, tell your church. They ain't got no youth ministry anyway. These church youth ministries ain't popping like they used to be. Man, start something up with the youth in the church. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way to get started. There's a lot of practical things you can do to start your nonprofit organization. I'll say it real quick. Number one, get your name. Get your tax ID number. Text ID number, man. Get your mission statement. Get your articles of incorporation. Get your 501c3, and you're on your way. Get your board of directors, and you're on your way. That's the short version. Now, there's a lot more that's into it, but that's a very short version. But I guess I just answered everything you just asked. For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Short version, but that's all you're going to get tonight. You're going to have to go over to Clubhouse and follow us for Men's Untold Emotions, the Social Lab After Show, which is about to kick off in about 60 seconds. Mr. Mike Mosby, you've been dynamic, bro. You are now a friend to this show. You are welcome to come back here anytime. Yeah. We will be supporting your nonprofit, raising the bar from here on out. And ladies and gentlemen, I also want to say that Mr. Mosby extended an opportunity to work on his board for RBC.
Yes, sir.
And I've accepted the boardship, so I'll be sitting as a board member. Hey, going over to the Clubhouse. The show's about to start.
Yes,
right now. This has been great. Be safe. Good night.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show.
Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show